He's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on. Tell those folks, he's risen, pass it on. He's risen, pass it on, pass it on. He's risen, tell them, tell those folks. He's risen, tell those folks. He's risen, tell those folks. Everyone stand up and greet one another. He's risen. Wish each other a happy Easter. Please turn to the greeting in your bulletins. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead to bring everlasting hope, be with you all. Let's join in Jesus Christ is risen today. Join in the litany of thanksgiving in your bulletin. Thank you, our Father God, for the news of Easter.
We rejoice in the resurrection story, O God.
We are humbled by the magnificence of new life.
And we ask for continual renewal of life, O Father.
For the joy that sprang from the grave, for the happiness that Jesus' friends felt when he recognized them and called them by name, and for the blessing of knowing him. Rekindle in us this Easter the faith you have so generously bestowed upon us through your Holy Spirit.
That our feelings, thoughts, words, and deeds may be directed by our trust in you, O Father.
Shower upon the whole earth, magnificent God, the resurrection news.
That even where people do not know your Son, he may instill justice at the very least, and merciful loving kindness, if possible, in the minds and hearts of all people.
At this season of the year, when the best news of all is proclaimed again and again, let it especially be heard by those who are sick,
by those who are troubled in any way,
by those who are distressed in mind or spirit,
by those who are dying,
by those who are grieving for a loved one already called to triumphant life with you,
by all, O Father, who in any way need even stronger reassurance that yours is the victory over everything that can possibly destroy us.
Reassure them and us that ours too is the same victory through Christ, whom we have accepted in faith. Unto you, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give praise and honor now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion with the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our choir to sing.
Our Lord is risen, risen from the dead. Hallelujah, praise to the King. Our Lord is risen, risen as he said. Hallelujah, joyfully sing. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. Jesus is risen. Rejoice, Christ is risen from the dead. The Lord is risen, risen from the dead. Hallelujah, praise to the King. The Lord is risen, risen as he said. Let the
first reading today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Easter means new life for us, as it first meant new life for Christ. His resurrection reshapes the entire focus and motivation for our lives, since we are now hidden with the risen Christ in God. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed to him in glory. The psalm today is Psalm 118. Please respond in the bold print. Where you see the bold R, please use the refrain, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord, this is done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us be glad in it. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Easter story according to St. John, the 20th chapter. John's gospel describes the confusion and excitement of the first Easter. The stone is moved, disciples race back and forth, and angels speak to a weeping woman. Then Jesus himself appears. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." And Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, the cloth that had been raised on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then his disciples returned to their homes. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 367. Now all the vault of heaven resounds.
Thank you. Christ the Lord.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Easter to you all. This is a special, special day. In fact, it's my favorite day in the whole year. Can't hardly sleep. I'm wandering around. Can't wait to come and look and be reminded of the empty tomb, because that means that you and I don't have to fear death anymore. We don't have to be afraid of anything that happens, because we have triumphed with Jesus. We have been given the gift of heaven. That's why we celebrate today. So I was going through the stores looking for some Easter things for my grandkids. Came upon a special little gift here. It's called the Easter carrot. Came in from China, and I was wondering what kind of story they have for the Easter carrot. That's a neat one, huh? Must go for the Easter rabbit. And then we have the Easter egg. I didn't see any children. I was going to talk about the Easter egg today, but maybe I'll have to wait till the second service. I love Easter, and it's nice to have you here to celebrate. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to celebrate today. As you read through the scriptures and read the Easter story, all the eyewitnesses' account give differing opinions or differing stories of Christ's resurrection. Today we read the Apostle John's account. Early on the first day of the week, while it's still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, sees that the stone has been removed from the entrance. She doesn't see the body. She comes running to Simon Peter and another disciple, who most scholars think is John, the writer of this gospel, and says they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him. She was going to help anoint the body and wrap the body and prepare the body. In a tomb in Israel, they're carved into limestone walls, huh? And there's a little entryway, and you go in, and there's a bigger preparation room that's not very big, maybe twice the size of the altar. And then in the walls, they will dig holes that will be big enough to slide the body in, and then they will seal it up. And they'll put whole families in, you know, kind of like your gravesite out here at Malmo Cemetery. Whole families are in the same area. Well, that's the way they did the tombs. They didn't have a chance to prepare Jesus' body, so they laid him there. They wrapped him because they had to get home before sunset on Friday. Saturday, day of Sabbath, there's no work to be done. They had laws about touching dead bodies. They had laws about purification rites. They couldn't walk. They couldn't work. They couldn't do anything. So now on Easter, what we call Easter Sunday, the first day of the week, they come to prepare the body, and the tomb is empty. So then Peter and James hear that the tomb is empty, so they start running. And John outruns Peter. I get a picture of Peter as being a big lumbering guy. Boom, boom, boom. And I get John as the handsome young fellow who can really move. Well, maybe like you, Anthony, huh? Anyway, he moves there, he gets there quick, but he doesn't go in. He kind of peeks in. He doesn't want to know what he's going to find in there, but old Peter comes running along, and he goes in right away, and he sees the cloths, the wrapping cloths, and Jesus is gone. And the gospel writer says this: he saw and believed, that's John. However, it adds, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. That's interesting, don't you think? I mean, the disciples didn't have a clue that Jesus' missing body, what that meant. You and I come to this sacred place on Easter morning assured that Christ has conquered death. That's the story we've been raised with, we've been told through all these years. The early disciples had no such assurance. They didn't know what was Jesus, they thought maybe Jesus' body had been stolen. First Easter morning was rather a time for grief and reflection. They followed a man named Jesus. They had come to know him as someone special, someone unique. They believed that he was the Messiah, the one who would come to save Israel. But they were unsure what that really meant. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So according to Jesus, it wasn't to be to wipe out the Romans that had inhabited and taken over the land. Jesus says, "My world is not of this world." So he's giving us a peace and a resurrection and a joy that there's something more, something else besides what we see day in and day out. And the disciples didn't really catch that message. It'd be strange to hear someone who's getting ready to lead a revolt. See, they thought Jesus was going to lead a revolt against Rome. But it'd be strange to think that Jesus, who's going to lead a revolt, would say, "Love your enemies." What kind of Messiah was that? And when you think of Jesus, we know that he wasn't a wimp. I mean, no wimp could have driven out the tax collectors from the temple. He was a strong man. He was a carpenter. But he wasn't given into vengeance. He wasn't a man given over to violence. More than anything else, he was a man of peace. He even spoke peace to angry waves when he was on the Sea of Galilee. I can just see him sitting in front of the boat. You know how the waves get big out here on this lake? He stood and said, "Peace, be still," and even the waves obeyed. He was a man of peace. What's going on here? And now he's gone. He's crucified. He's dead. He's buried. The reality that confronted these followers on that first Easter morning, they couldn't figure it out, I don't think. And then, as if to make the story seem even crueler, his body goes missing. Think what that meant. All the world's people, when a leader falls, they weep for the leader, and they bring flowers, and they bring pictures and mementos, and they leave things, other remembrances of that person's affection and loyalty. But Jesus' followers didn't even have that opportunity because there's no body. There's no place they can find him. The women go to the tomb on the third day after his death. They found the stone rolled away, and his body's gone, and they're confused, and they're afraid, and they wonder what's all about. What's going on here? Who's playing tricks on us? And then the stories come tumbling in. If you read the other accounts, Mary has a conversation with a man who she thinks is a gardener. And it turns out that the gardener is the risen Lord. And then two men are on their way to a town called Emmaus, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And they end up visiting with this stranger, and when they break bread, all of a sudden they see that it's Jesus. And then that night the disciples are locked in behind the closed doors, and all of a sudden Jesus appears behind those closed doors, and he shows them the wounds in his hands and his feet and that spear in his side. He says, "I am Jesus, and I'm here with you. And Master, the Master's alive." It's an amazing story. Jesus' followers go from despair to an astounding joy, all within the bounds of a single day. And that joy that they experienced then is a joy that we that is resounding today, more than 2,000 years later. The proclamation of the joy begins this morning. Actually, we're at the end of the time zone. Begins at the time zone in New Zealand and Australia, and then all of Asia, the bells are ringing and the songs of hallelujahs are being sung. Then it moves over to Africa and the European countries, and now the bells ring for us, and we sing these marvelous resurrection songs in North and South America. The whole world is celebrating today. Over 2 billion Christians celebrate today because Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. Death has been conquered. That's why we gather on Easter morning. I always ask the question, so what? I mean, so what does this mean for us? So what if Jesus is resurrected? First of all, it means that he conquered death. It's the same message every Easter, but it never grows old. We need to be reminded that Christ conquered death, and those who follow him don't have to fear death anymore. Max Lucado, who's a Christian writer, tells the story of a missionary down in the jungles of Brazil. There was a small tribe that needed medical attention. People were dying every day. This missionary had come through the jungles. He had crossed a river, and across the river, a hospital was not very far away. But these people in this tribe were afraid that there were evil spirits in the river. And the missionary said, "No, I came across the river. You don't have to be afraid." But they wouldn't go near. So he brought them over to the river, and he touched his hand in the river. "See, there's nothing there." But they didn't go in. So he waded in up to his waist. "There's no evil spirits here." But they were still afraid. They wouldn't go in. So he dove in under and swam as far as he could and came up not too far from the opposing shore. And he stood up and went like, "I'm the victor. You don't have to be afraid." And all the people cheered, and they went over and got their injections to beat off the disease. In the same way, Christ has made the journey from this world to the next, and he returned to tell us that the journey's safe. We don't have to be afraid. A loving Father's waiting for us on the other side, where there's peace and hope and love and forgiveness and joy. And there's new life and new beginnings. Now, you can raise many reasonable arguments against the idea of the resurrection, but one thing that cannot be argued is the dramatic change that took place in each one of these disciples when they saw Jesus come back from the dead. Nearly all of these disciples were eventually martyred. Some of them seriously, grievously martyred, but they didn't fear death anymore. They weren't afraid of dying. In fact, Paul would write, "O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory?" Those early disciples knew that death couldn't harm them and it couldn't devour them. Death had been conquered. The knowledge that death has been conquered freed them to live life fully, knowing that whatever happened in their life, no matter what happened in their life, that life would go on. I had a pastor friend, his nickname is Marcusian. He was telling me a story about an airplane fight he had. He sat down next to a fairly well-known theologian. The man told him how his little boy had died recently. He said the child had come home from school with a fever. They thought it was just one of those childhood things, but it ended up being a very virulent form of meningitis. Doctor said to the theologian and his stunned wife that they couldn't save the boy. He said the child whom they loved so much would die. So the seminary professor, is loving, who loved his son as he did, sat by the bedside while his son was passing from this world into the next. And this is the seminary professor telling my friend. He says it was the middle of the day. The little boy's vision began to get cloudy and dark. And the boy said, "Daddy, it's getting dark here, isn't it? Sorry. This gets me." Anyway, the professor said, "Yeah, son, it's getting dark, very dark." The dying boy said, "Daddy, I guess it's time for me to go to sleep, isn't it?" The professor said, "Yeah, son, it's time for you to go to sleep." The professor said that his son had a way of going to sleep at night, that he would take his little pillow and put it a certain way, and then he'd lay on his hands like this. And that's what the boy did. Laid on his hands like this. And he said, "Good night, Daddy. I'll see you in the morning." And he closed his eyes in death, and he stepped into heaven. Well, the professor was pretty quiet then, didn't say anything for a long time after that, and then he just looked out the window of the airplane. And after a while, he turned back to my friend, and with tears coming down his cheeks, he says, "You know what? I can hardly wait for the morning." That professor knew that death had been conquered.
And therefore, he could go on with his life. That's why we celebrate Easter. Because death has been conquered. And we can live no matter what the world throws our way. We can make it through. That's why I'm so excited on Easter morning. And I need to hear this message again because, you know, after this long, cold, cruel winter, a lot of us come tired and depressed. Some of us have troubles, health troubles, money troubles. But what we have here is just the beginning compared to eternity, where there's going to be joy and love and peace and forgiveness and happiness and the reuniting of us with our loved ones. That's what Easter means. That's why we celebrate. And that's why every day should be an Easter for you and for me. Every day that old, sinful, selfish person should die and the new person in Christ should be coming anew, should be resurrected so that we can see the world with Jesus' eyes and with Jesus' heart. That's what Easter's all about. Life and love prevail. And that should give us hope. Easter is important, not only as a sign that death is conquered, but also that life has been conquered. So that's the story of Easter. I'm glad you're here. I hope you live Easter every day this coming year. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 385, we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Made alive to God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer.
O God, in Christ's death and resurrection, your church is reborn. Bless your people in every nation, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, Pentecostal. Raise us up to witness together to your undying love for the world. Hear us, O God. O God, your faithfulness extends to all the earth. On this Easter morn, we pray for creation. Make terror and destruction cease, and renew all things in the bright dawning of your love. Hear us, O God. O God, the resurrection of your Son means life for every nation. Show us that promise and hope. Heal nations scarred by injustice and greed. Give hope to those ravaged by violence. Hear us, O God. O God, your Son healed all who were oppressed. Bless those who heal and show compassion in Jesus' name. Even as we pray for the many among us who are still in need, we especially remember those in our families and those who are friends who need your healing touch, who we name in our hearts before you. Give them an Easter spirit. Hear us, O God. O God, in the waters of baptism, you call us by name and raise us to new life in you. Renew us with all faith, hope, and love, that we might be Christ's risen body in the world. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. And we thank you for this very special, special day. Allow each one of us to die to our old sinful self and allow us to rise with your Son in new life with a new eye toward the future and a new heart looking forward to joining you in your heavenly kingdom. O God, we give thanks for the saints whose lives proclaim the victory of your love. With them, give us courage to follow our crucified and risen Lord until all things are gathered in his name. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we gather on this Easter morning. We remember the events of this past week, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his last supper with his disciples where he washed their feet and became servant of all, how he was arrested and crucified and died on the cross, a bloody death, and how he came back to life. Today we break this bread and are reminded of his words, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are invited to receive this gift of Holy Communion. This morning we will celebrate by intinction, so I'll hand you the bread. Please dip it in either the dark liquid is wine, the light liquid is grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, ask me and we will serve you bread that is without flour. Again, all are welcome at the table of our Lord. Please be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in praying the prayer after communion. Loving God, by your Spirit we are born anew, and you nourish us like newborns with this holy food. And with this we grow into salvation. Give us grace to live as your risen daughters and sons, shining in the world with your marvelous light, until you gather all creation to the heavenly table where Christ reigns in glory forever. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Thine is the Glory.